Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy to our lives. We
thank you, Father God, as we look into your word even now, that you continue to open the eyes of our understanding, cause your wisdom and revelation to flow forth mightily in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, Amen. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 11.
And we'll read verse 14 onward. And he was casting out... Could we get the echo? Thank you. And he was casting out demons. Too much echo. And it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled. But some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And others testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds his swept put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Question is often asked in demonology, where does a demon go when they are cast out? And so we see here that Jesus said that when a demon is cast out, they will go to dry places. And the dry places not only just symbolize this physical earth, but it's more the spiritual plane that they move out into. It does not mean that they go to the desert. You don't take that literally. But to them, they move out into the spiritual realm where it feels thirsty to them. It says that they will roam. They are vagabonds. They do not go into the pit yet, as we have seen last week, but they go into these dry places. And that, for that reason, there seems to be, even in hell, in Hades, a kind of soul thirst, a kind of spiritual thirst that people experience. You remember in Luke chapter 16, Lazarus, the rich man, Lazarus and the rich man. How the rich man was suffering in his torments, and he said, send Lazarus to get him some water so that he could quench his thirst. There seems to be a kind of thirst that they experience. When they are cut off from God, they experience a kind of incomprehensible spiritual thirst. And nothing seems to be able to quench that thirst. And demons are suffering that all the time. Fallen spirits and fallen souls of men who have allowed a demonic power to influence their lives and go to hell and Hades, right now they experience a kind of curse. And it's a torment and a suffering for eternity. These demons are suffering that all the time. And for some peculiar reason, sometimes when you cast out demons, demons ask for water for whatever reason. And they they would keep asking for water. And when you are doing deliverance and when you are in demonology and exercising the authority of Jesus, you will not compromise on anything at all. On anything at all. And sometimes when you give a command, say in the name of Jesus, come out, and the demon say, I'm thirsty. All you have to do is say, shut up and come out. You're not supposed to give them water here. Give drink water. God never asked us to feed demons. And there was a time when Noah Hayes was dealing with a very difficult case, and this demon that was there started manifesting and asking for water. So the people around him started going out to bring a cup of water, and he said, "Put that away. I don't feed demons." And for some reason, they began to feel the very thirst that is there. Now, when that is happening, we realize that they're beginning to experience what it's like when they are cast out. See, Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, verse 24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. They are trying to find rest. And in the end, they will always try to get back to where they came from. The word house represents human bodies. They want to get back into human bodies. And for this morning, we're going to look at two aspects in demonology. And that is, we have to discern. Both are under the point, discern. Discerning the causes of problems and discerning the type and kind of demons. Discernment is vitally important when you deal with demons. And it can work together, and it can operate also the gift of discerning of spirit, which is a different area altogether. Discernment is your human spirit. Discerning of spirit is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Please note the difference between them. Now, both have to operate very strong in your life as you deal with activities of demons, and in order to bring deliverance and the deliverance ministry to people. We have to, number one, discern sicknesses, diseases, and problems that are caused by demons, or they are caused naturally. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and gave and sent them two by two before his face and over every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then notice in verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So Jesus recognized, and the disciples recognized, the power of the name of Jesus to set people free. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. There are two realms of authority. One is authority over demonic powers that are hindering people's life. The other is a power and authority to bring healing, to channel the healing virtue to people's life. When we deal with cases of sicknesses, one of the most important things is to discern whether it is demonically caused or whether it is caused by natural, organic causes, etc. See, there are different causes of sicknesses. In some demonic case, you find Jesus Christ dealing differently from an organic cause. Like if you remember the man who was deaf and dumb, and Jesus Christ came to the person and he spit, and then Jesus touched his tongue, and the person could speak again. There was no deliverance that was made. And he said, be open, epata, or be loose. So Jesus Christ would minister differently from a sickness than from a demonic demonically caused sickness. And we need to differentiate between the two. When the Lord sent Kenneth Hagin into the ministry with the anointing of God, he touched with his fingertips the palms of his hands and told him that when he doesn't do that anymore, that was in his first phase, told him that when he placed his hands on the body of a person, if the fire were to jump from one hand to the other, he would know that it's a demon. If it does not, he will know that all he has to do is pray for healing. And from there we can see that Luke 9 verse 1 and even Matthew 10 verse 1 both signify that we must know and we must have the knowledge to discern between a sickness that is caused by natural causes or a sickness that is caused by demons. We have to have some sort of revelation that flows in our life. Otherwise, we will be ineffective in our prayers. If a sickness is caused by demons, no matter how much you pray for healing virtue, it does not seem to work against it. Unless you're operating by the anointing upon which you're operating an anointing, which is a different realm. But if it is a demonic case and without even asking for healing, you take authority and command the demon to leave that person's body, then there is a tremendous release immediately that a person feels. A person can feel healed. Demons can attach themselves to the body. Demons can oppress the soul. And if they are allowed to, they will even possess a human spirit. And as we minister to people, as we look at demonology, we need to discern very sharply the symptom. The first thing we have to discern is the symptom, whether it is caused by demons or whether it is caused by a natural cause. Normally, we could be sensitive to the inward witness and the inward sensations in our life. And sometimes when there is demonic activity involved in a person's life, you could sense it in some way or other in your hands, maybe. How I personally sense it is if I minister to people and if I were to hold their hand or lay hands on them, and as I pray over them, I may not know what it is yet. But as I pray over them, if their problems are caused by demons, I would have a strange, peculiar sensation on my hand. If their problems are just because of a organic reason, then it's just a normal sensation. But there is a difference in the two sensations. There is a difference between the two. You have to develop, when you begin to move into the ministry, an ability to tell between the two. Whether people whom you're ministering to, their problems are caused by demons or their problems are caused by organic reasons. Like for example, if a person has a chemical imbalance or a person has an organic injury to their physical body, they will develop symptoms or sicknesses. But those are caused organically and they are not caused demonically. Demons can cause a person to be deaf, to be dumb, and every physical symptom that you can name, every sickness, there is a counterpart. Remember, don't jump to conclusion. Not every deaf and dumb case is a demon. Not every person who is deaf is caused by a deaf demon. Not every person who is dumb is caused by a dumb demon. Not all epilepsy is caused by demons. There are demons that cause epilepsy, but there is also a natural cause. You cannot sort of classify sicknesses into categories. For you will find both kind of sicknesses in both realms. That demons can cause certain things. Now there are different demons. There are demons that are sent in order to oppress the body. To oppress the body. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, in Jesus' life and ministry, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, generally speaking, all sicknesses and diseases are satanically inspired. We're not talking about generally or indirectly. But specifically, some sicknesses and some diseases are caused by an actual spirit being called a demon that attaches itself to a person. And having attached itself to that person, we cannot see with the physical eye. You can go to the doctors over and over again. The doctors who examine and cross-examine x-ray and on you, and they cannot find a single physical cause for your sickness. And you're wondering, hey, but I'm still having those symptoms. Many of those cases are caused by a demon that has been assigned to attach to your life like a leech. We pray God it's not your life, but their life. And as Christians, you're not supposed to let that happen. But there are demons that specialize in causing physical afflictions. Demons are in different categories. They cannot do everything. Each one is a specialist. Some are specialists at attacking people's eyes. Some at causing muteness or deafness to come into their life. Let's look at Jesus as a minister to all these various cases of demon problems. And let's look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, and when he stalked out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. Now this man is demon possessed. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Notice the words. He has commanded the demon to come out of the man. That is the way that he deals with demons that possess people. In this case, the demon has lived in the spirit of the man. This man is not a believer. The demons are inside the person. And let's look at another case in the book of Luke, chapter 4, and see the similarity in these cases. Verse 33. It is the same kind of spirit. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. So this is again a demon possessed case. And notice the demon cry out with a loud voice. Now turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. When the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitude marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees say he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. I mean, that's just what they say. Here, there was a man, he was also demon-possessed, and the demon caused a muteness. Notice that there are three cases that we have quoted. There is a different type of demon, although there is the same method of deliverance. See, in this case in Matthew chapter 8, the demon that possessed a person caused muteness. In the other cases, the demon in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 8, it caused the person to run wild, to behave like a wild man. Different demons are causing it. Not all demon possession give out the same symptoms.
And the other person we saw in the demon that possessed a man in the synagogue, Gospel of Luke 4, it is not, apparently that man had been going to the synagogue for some time. That man didn't go there for necessarily a healing service. Remember, Jesus had just begun his ministry. And here it is in his own hometown. So that man don't seem to have outward symptoms like the other two. It's very easy to tell the other, the Luke 8 one, that, oh, that must be demon possessed. If you go outside right now, you see a wild guy with a hair knee length and running about wild, who smells like a durian cap about 100 days. And running about wild eyes and etc. You say, oh, that's demon possessed. Not all demon possessed may look like that. There are many types of demons. So it's wrong for us to conclude demon possession by the outward. The other man in the Gospel of Matthew 8 is demon possessed, but all he has was dumbness. He was just dumb. That's all. No other manifestation. The man probably wore clothes and looked very dignified, etc. Now, the most dignified guy was in Luke 4. He was a regular attender of the synagogue. If Jesus had not read the word of God with the anointing of God on him, that man could have gone to the synagogue, sing the shalom and left. Perhaps he has been doing that every week. Nobody knows. That could be, mind you, that could be nice, well-dressed, three-piece suit, gentleman, or non-gender women, three-piece suit, gentleman who wears three-piece suit, looks outwardly okay, out there you look at them, oh, they cannot be demon-possessed. You never know, not all demon-possessions are like Luke 8, but they run wild, half-naked or naked. No, in this person here, in Luke 4, the person looked probably very dignified. He probably wore normal clothes. He came and went by himself. It was only when Jesus read the word that the demon manifested. Yes, sir, sometimes you could go to a place and people would come in. You could find a man, a well-kempt hair, and wearing three-piece suit. And I come right there, you read the scripture, and you minister the grace of God, and suddenly the person goes, wah! And nobody noticed. I didn't realize the demon could wear three-piece suit. Yes, they can wear anything. So remember that when a demon possesses people, they have different kinds of manifestation. If you read Howard Pickman's book, he'll tell you one of the special demons looks to him like a businessman. So when demons possess people, the people will take after their personality, not necessarily having the same kind of manifestation. The reason we bring this forth is that it's important to discern by the Spirit and not by your physical eyes. Now the opposite of it is true. Sometimes there's an epileptic case, and the person goes, oh, that must be a demon. Not necessarily so. There could be a physical problem with the nerves of a person's mind, and that is causing an electrical disturbance, and the person could say that is a demon. Not necessarily so. Or maybe a person is vomiting in a meeting. Oh, a demon's coming out. Not necessarily so. The person just had bad food. I want to show both sides of the story. See, on one side, there are those who always think that when there are demons, then there will be certain manifestations. And you can tell from the outward. You cannot hear the judge from the inward. The other opposite side are those who watch every sort of unusual manifestation, must be demon. Not necessarily so. I remember when one of the sisters had an operation, and when she came to one of the meetings, She's feeling uncomfortable and painful. She just had an operation, and somebody is trying to cast a demon out of her. Really? Come out in Jesus' name. I mean, yeah, that's a demon. And the difference is, I knew that the sister just had an operation. The person who was trying to cast out the demon did not know. So I came and said, hey, this person has just had an operation. Said, no, it's a demon. You don't know. I can discern. Are you the only one who can discern? And so it's not. And the person did not have any demons. It was a physical cause. So it's important when we minister deliverance that we must discern whether something is demonically caused or physically caused. And you cannot depend on your physical observations. It can be deceiving. You have to depend on the inward revelation. Inward revelation will show for whether a problem is demonically caused or not. There are many types of headaches. There are some types that are caused by demons, other types that are caused by back problems. So you cannot just oversimplify. People who oversimplify these matters cause hurt in the body of Christ. Because it's just like the doctor giving you wrong medicine. That's dangerous, right? And I cannot say this is the only medicine for all problems. You got headache, this is the only medicine. We won't advise doctors to do that. I don't think doctors do that. There are many causes and reasons for fever too. Now there are some fevers, as we know, Jesus rebuked. But there are some fevers that we realize they are caused by natural causes. Jesus rebuked a fever from Peter's mother-in-law. So you cannot judge by the outward circumstances, you can only judge by the inward discernment of your spirit. As you grow in the Lord, you will develop sensitivity in the spirit. You will hear the Holy Spirit in your life. How do I do it? You can pray for discernment. Philippians chapter 1 is a prayer for discernment. Praying that your love will grow in discernment so that you could discern the causes of your problems or the problems of people's life. And I don't want to go into the physical discussion of what the sensations are like, for the simple reason that every one of us has to learn to discern it. And each person's method of discernment may be slightly different. The principle remains the same though. The principle is that it's your spirit man discerning. But the style of discerning may be different. May be different. Right, let's go to another matter here. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, the case that we saw last week. So bear in mind that we're teaching in a series. So as the weeks go by, we may touch more on discerning and the physical, the sensations of the Holy Spirit. What kind of ways and styles that may exist. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. We have finished the first point on the importance of discerning from the inward human spirit, not from the outward. Things I have covered are just that you cannot discern from the outward. People who judge from the outward are not sensitive to the spirit inside them. Chapter 9. We have seen last week that the key to deliverance is faith, the force of faith. And there's another factor here. Notice that when Jesus cast out the demon in verse 25, Jesus was very specific. He says, Mark chapter 9, verse 25, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "You deaf and dumb spirit." Do you notice Jesus knew the type of spirit he was facing? The type of spirit. And in verse 25 he says, "Come out of him and enter him no more." But notice the description of the Father in verse 17 and 18. "Teacher, I brought you my son who is a mute spirit. Wherever he seizes him, And truly now he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Now look over at Matthew 17, the same incident, but the spirit is described. Verse 15, Lord have mercy on my son, for he is an what? Epileptic, and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Jesus said, you deaf and dumb spirit, come out! And somebody else may be saying, you epileptic spirit, and you have the wrong one. The second thing, and the second point is, we have to discern the type or kind of demon that we are facing. If you want to exercise authority over them, absolutely. Or the number of them. You have to discern. Now, this point one that we have earlier covered is to discern the cause, whether it's demon or whether it's natural cause. Then you go to point two, where you have to discern more specifically, and it's not discernment anymore. In the first one is the discernment. In point two is discerning of spirit, which is the operation of the gift of the Holy Spirit by the anointing of God. It's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit operating. Discerning of spirits. Now discerning of spirits is not just negatively applied, but in demonology we're talking about that. Remember, discerning of spirits is also the ability to see visions, to see Jesus, to see angels. But when it applies to demonology, it applies to the ability that you have in God to discern the very type, kind, or name, or number of a demon. And in the spiritual realm, when you know the name of the demon, you immediately begin to have a greater authority over them. Not all demon cases you may need to go that far. You do not need to go that far. I'm talking more specialized ministries, moving deeper into a higher realm of ministry in deliverance. Generally, you just say, in the name of Jesus, according to Mark 16, and they will come out. But as you mature in the area, you could be more specific. Like, for example, you could generally lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You could generally lay hands on everybody. But as you move deeper into the healing ministry, you could lay hands on people and begin to discern the cause and what they are suffering from. It is a peculiarity in my ministry that when the anointing is on me, if I were to lay hands on you or look at you, I could immediately tell what's wrong with your body. But that you move deeper into the healing ministry. You could move generally, you could move deeper. In the same way with deliverance, you could minister generally. You just cast out demons in the name of Jesus and they're stubborn, read the word of God and cast it out. Read the word of God and cast it out. Right? Spend your time meditating on the word. Not talking to demons. And then you could move deeper into the area of discerning of spirits, which discerns their type, kind, nature, name, or number. Look at Mark chapter 5. In verse 8 and 9. For he said to them, come out of the man, unclean spirit. That was the type and kind of demon. But that was not the demon's name. In verse 9, when he asked him, what is your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So the name of the demon, the head ruler of darkness over that man's life, possessing that man, was Legion. The type and kind of demon he is an unclean spirit. It's important for us when we minister deliverance that we have discernment operating in our life, because sometimes you're not facing demons, you're just facing a problem of organic problem, or sometimes a soul problem that manifests on a person. a soul healing that is needed, and it's not deliverance or physical healing, but soul healing. That's another realm altogether. But here, the name of the demon is a funny name, Legion. He is classified among all the what we call unclean spirits. There are many types, many kinds of unclean spirits, and there are many of them apparently around. Not all of them are named Legion. I know people who have even gone to the extent of classifying demons. You know, I receive some notes from them. Sometimes they send it to me and they say, "Hey, we have just classified all demons." I say, "Wow, that's great." But then you look at that, you find that they put Satan at the top, and then they put all these demons. They say, "Well, there's one demon called Strongman, Apollyon, and Jezebel, and all these things are the big ones. Then under them are all these things." I say, "That's not complete. That's not a complete list." Remember that one third of the angels have fallen. One third of angels, fallen angels, which is the top rank. You don't know all of them. So I know people who think that demons are classified. They are books about demons written by Christians, where they oversimplify. They'll say, the spirit of mind control is the main spirit that rules. They are wrong. That's not the main spirit. One third of fallen angels have fallen. And all fallen angels have a name. The Bible gives some information, but not total information at all, because it's not necessary for you to know all their names. That's a great number of fallen angels. Every one of them had a name. And all fallen angels have the first rank of authority in the demonic realm. And so some of these books are not accurate at all. And we do not recommend them. We don't let them be sold in the bookstore here, for they are not accurate and they give a different picture. What we should do when we discern is to discern by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you to know the name, the type, the kind, the number. We are not authorized to talk to demons. We are not authorized to talk with demons. Nowhere in the Bible do you find the Lord tell us to commune with demons and get information from them. Demons are perpetual liars. You cannot trust the information they give you. I know some people who have talked a lot with demons and they say, "Do you know this? Do you know?" I say, "Where do you get all this information from, the demon? How can you trust them?" He said, "But it sounds so true." Yes, truth is always mixed with lies in order to be lies. You cannot believe the demon. And there's another book on demons that I read when a person was casting out the demon. And he was talking too much to the demon anyway. And then he looks at the demon has gone. He's one of those extreme cases of deliverance. And then suddenly he came back. He said, "Where do you go?" Ask the demon, "Where do you go?" I mean, he cast the demon out. He asked the demon, "Where do you go?" The demon said, and he was casting in America. The demon said, "I just went to India and came back." Big story. Why believe the demon? And then in the book he wrote, demons can travel very fast. Why come up with all these funny doctrines? What's the point of all these things? I mean, demons just love to distract you, love to occupy you. And some of them list long conversation with demons. And so the demons will say, "Hey, I'm after you. Your ministry has really caused me great torment all over the world." You know what the demon's trying to do? Get you puffed up. Not that you're the only one who could do deliverance. The only one in the whole wide world. That's exactly what a demon wants you to think. But a lot of them will write books and they would come out and say, "Oh, they are the main deliverance ministry in the world." Where did they get information from? From Satan. If they check with the Lord and say, "Lord, am I the only one?" And God will say, "No, there are about 7,000 others." See, what the demon is using is a very subtle way of putting pride and make your ministry ineffective. And so this conversations, the demons are completely discouraged. How are we to move in the discerning of spirit? That is why Jesus was talking about fasting. Fasting and revelation are connected. And as you move into the realm of fasting and you live a faster life, the revelations of the Lord could flow easier. You're more sensitive to the spirit realm. You're more sensitive when you allow your spirit to dominate. And your spirit moves by revelation. You don't have to talk to the demons at all. There's a case long ago in Butterworth, and there was this lady who was demon possessed, wife of a politician, she was there, and they were having a long conversation, saying, "Where do you come from?" "From the deep, deep blue sea." They all kinds of things. I cannot be at liberty to share it here, right? It's improper for me. But I mean, they did the strangest things. When I went there was a whole group of them, 4 or 5. And what I did, I just sat down. Since they asked me to be there, I just sat down. I mean, I'm not into those kind of things. And I just sat down and prayed. And they struggled for, they had been, I went there, we all left by cars, and they went there ahead, and they had been at it for about half an hour or so. And deep, deep blue sea. Indeed. And so, in the end, maybe I'm permitted to share some of the wild things. Am I permitted to share some of the wild things? Oh Lord. Oh, they are here, yes? And they interpret deep blue sea. And you know what they did? They went and stripped that guy. And deep blue sea, I mean, is a part of the person's body. How wild can you get? And there are all kinds of things and all kinds of stories, and the demon will tell them story after story, how I came into this life. And then they say, "Oh, okay, how many years ago?" "Oh, there." Then the demon gives them information, etc. Long story. First time I said, "Lord, what do you say?" And the Lord said that a person has a chance, just take it off. That's all. That's causing a struggle. Not how many years, etc. And not how long have been there. And in the end, when they also sort of finally get exhausted, and they are wondering, then one of them turned to me and said, "Do you have anything from the Lord?" Finally, say, "Yes." There's a charm on a person's body. Can we just take it off? And they found that she was wearing a charm. And when they began taking the scissors to cut it, the demon screamed. The moment they cut it, the demon left. See, in deliverance ministry, it's more important for us to be in communion with God than to be in communion with devils. And especially, quote-unquote, in the demonic or deliverance ministry, get so into communion with demons that they are not relying on God for information, they become more and more dependent, and that is exactly the subtle way that Satan and demons want you to be. I read books on demonology, that 2/3 of the book contain conversations with demons and information they got from demons. To me, it glorifies Satan and demons, and it's exactly what they wanted. And in some of the books that are written, you read those books, they put fear in your life and not faith. This is not what God wants. This is exactly what the demons wanted subtly. And so we should be in communion with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, let's quickly look at that. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Says, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely, he says, surely the kingdom of God has come upon your life. Now turn over to chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the finger of God and the Spirit of God are equal. We cast out demons not by communion and conversation with demons, but by the Spirit of God. You must be 100% in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying. That means when you're facing a demonic case, you have to be perfectly in tune with the Holy Spirit. You have to be perfectly in tune and know what the Spirit is saying all the time. And if the demon tries to get you into conversation, they like to talk. You just tell them to shut up. And keep listening to the Holy Spirit to know what and how to deal with that particular problem. Remember, we're talking about point number two. Point number one should have been done long ago. Don't take every case to be demon case. That would be wrong, extreme. But when there's a demon case that is necessary for deliverance, then you have to be in communion with God by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Not by your methods. By the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's methods are creative. Holy Spirit is the finger of God. That's powerful. See, who takes the demon and throws the demon out? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the finger of God. He's the one that grabs the demon by the head or by the tail or by the horns and pulls them all out. All of them out. And he can pull all of them out at one shot. He can just flush the demons out of a person. Right? He will just press a button inside. All the demons came out. Therefore, the most important person that we have to work with when we deal with deliverance cases is the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to Him at all times. At all times. I remember when I was ministering one time to a person, and I sort of saw a picture of that demon, but I don't know its name. On a person's life. And what I saw was this, you know, one of these, it looks like one of these Chinese idols, the one with the fan. And I just saw it. So I don't know what its name was. I don't even know its Chinese name. It's not important to me. I didn't bother to ask anybody. I didn't say, hey, what's your name, by the way? No. So all I did is whatever information I have, since I don't have a name, but I know its type, its kind. So I said, you foul demon, the one with the fan, carries the fan all over the place, you that are oppressing this person. And I thought I had the knowledge that he came in this person's life and this person was a child. And you came when you were a child. I didn't get the information from the demon, I got it from God. Say, you foul demon with the fan. You that came into this person, when this person was a child through the mediation of mother, come out! And the demon came out. He understood. And the more specific you are in the spiritual realm, the moment you know a demon's name, you have authority over it. The moment you know its kind and type, you begin to have more authority over it. 2 points. Remember discernment and discerning of spirits when you deal in demonology. We'll look at it more in detail as we go along. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace in our lives that teaches us to deal specifically in this realm. And we pray, Father God, as we become more effective in ministering to people who are oppressed by demons, that we would begin to learn to yield to your spirit and glorify you, Lord. And put the devil and all his demons to shame. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise together. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demon of the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand on the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory. Praise God. Give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you.